I turned on recording for the second time, so. Walt, hang on tight, okay?
Both hands.
All right, so we're starting Choose the Intern mode again. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Vamp Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty. Today we've got a whole bunch of folks on here, including Stacey Montgomery, a.k.a. Princess Stacey from RPGNet. How you doing, Stacey?
Hello, I'm doing well. It's nice to be indoors.
Yeah, indeed it is. Daniel Gallant, charming Canadian. He is also here. Daniel cannot hear me. Andrew Collis, are you there?
I am here.
Andrew Collis is the head of Zenith Comics.
And, don't tell anyone.
And he is joining us tonight as well. And Walt Robillard. Walt, you there?
Absolutely.
From Hazard Studios. He is with us tonight as well. So, hey, welcome everybody. And we are going to be doing another demo session of Marvel Heroic Roleplaying with Stacey as the Watcher.
Yay.
Yay.
Yay. Yay me.
Hey, Daniel's back. Daniel.
Daniel is back. Charming Canadian Gallant has returned.
Yeah, so, you know, your brand new mansion where we do these podcasts, it's so huge, it took me a while to get back from the bathroom.
And yeah.
The beautiful skull chandeliers in the bathroom, perfect.
Can I ask one question about this? Why is it when I walked in the door someone was throwing meat at me?
That's...
You see, that's his new manservant. I hasn't quite caught the idea yet, but...
You know, you think I... Look, they're still adjusting Dad's medication, okay? Can we be sensitive?
I'm Canadian. You've just invoked our national motto. Please be sensitive. Damn it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
By the way, I have a question. If Daniel's the charming Canadian, does that make me the obnoxious Canadian?
You're the rascally Canadian.
Ooh, rascally. I like them apples.
That's right. But we never do anything to hurt their feelings. We just make them laugh along with us.
So, Stacey.
Oh, yes. What can I do for you?
Would you like to take charge of hurting these cats?
I guess. Hello, everyone. And hello to all our podcast listeners and all the ships at sea. What we've got tonight is yet another in an endless series of podcasts based on playing this cool Marvel heroic role-playing game from Cam Banks and all the wacky people at Margaret Weiss Productions.
We're the best we are at what we do. What we do is do actual play podcasts.
Yeah, I thought we'd stick with Breakout, but since we'd already done in a previous podcast, we did a few minutes of Breakout, and we sort of encountered Count Nefaria. I figured we'd start fresh, but without in tonight's episode, we'll just skip Count Nefaria, allowing us to get on to the next part of the exciting adventure.
Okay. Wasn't that pretty much the status of Marvel Universe up until Brian Michael Bendis brought him back? They were just skipping Count Nefaria as general?
That is exactly how it went.
Cool, I'm up to speed. I'm good to go.
Okay. Well, hey, so does that mean I can still be a thing if I want?
I would say that you guys can pick, those of you who are in previous things can use your old characters, or you can start anew. Would everyone like to choose a character from the basic Marvel heroic role-playing set?
Can I throw something out there?
Please, throw and just try not to hit anyone in the face.
And just not meet.
You know, it's how about we play the Fantastic Four?
I'm not being the Invisible Woman. It ain't happening.
Yeah. But I have not embraced my feminine side. Okay, that was a dumb idea. Never mind. I'll go back to my fight.
Well, you want to catch America again?
Made it.
Say what?
Yes, sir.
All right, cool. All right, so, Walt, Captain America, I'm the Thing. So it's up to Daniel and Andrew to pick their characters.
Mr. Fantastic.
You see in the book?
Yep.
Yes. Okay, cool.
I'm under looking Emma. At the book right now. I didn't realize I was supposed to look at things. My eyes. I'm Canadian.
Actually, if you bought it on RPGNet, it's in the MHR data files.
Yeah, no, I've got that. I'm just going through it really quickly as the PDF to figure out.
29 for Mr. Fantastic. Oh, sorry, never mind. I'm going to go. I'll
that's
go back.
The character data files. Remember, they're not character sheets. They're data files. They're all at the back of the book.
Right. I'm at Colossus. I'm still moving through. You know what? In honor of being the rascally Canadian, I'd call Wolverine.
Wolverine.
So oh, is Wolverine Canadian now?
What?
Oh my god, that's almost like heresy in this game.
I thought it was from the UP. Is he Canadian?
No, he's Canadian.
What the heck's
what?
The Upper Peninsula.
I thought he was from Ontario.
I believe he was. Northern Ontario.
No. Yeah, but he's not. Anyway.
Okay.
I thought he was Croatian. He's not Croatian? Okay.
I'm playing Miss Marvel. Let's go.
That's too easy. Okay, so is it Captain America, the Thing, Mr. Fantastic, and Wolverine?
That's my understanding, yes.
Don't expect me to learn your real names, then. From now on, you are Captain America, the Thing, Mr. Fantastic, and Wolverine. Let me say a few things. Each of these characters, as listed at the bottom of your character sheet, has two sets of milestones. But if you would like, you could swap one of them out for a adventure-specific milestone. The adventure-specific milestones that are available are liberate the sentry, round up the fugitives, and shield super agent. If that sounds really complicated, just say I'll stick with my basic milestones. But it is fun to take one of the adventure-specific milestones.
No, I'll stick with my basic ones. I like it for science and guilt-ridden. Oh, it is my fault.
I'm going to stick with mine as well.
Okay. Also, I'll remind you guys that this is a very high player buy-in, high player trust kind of game. You'll have to roll your own dice and to some extent keep track of things like PowerPoints. I'm sorry, plot points. What did I call them? Holy.
PowerPoints.
That'll get me in trouble. Plot points. and, of course, that sort of thing. Okay.
I'll go ahead and take one of the adventure-specific milestones.
Who was that?
That thing. Was the ever-loving blue-eyed Thing. I will...
Thing? Well, which one would you like to take? Liberate the Sentry, which is all about the Sentry plot line. Round up the Fugitives, which is just about capturing the escaping bad guys. Or Shield Super Agent, which is about arguing with Shield.
Well, since I'm Ben Grimm and I'm mostly about busting heads, I guess Round Up the Fugitives would be the most appropriate one.
Round Up the Fugitives. And what is that replaced?
The Raft?
No, I mean your existing milestones are Heart of the Prince and Feet of Clay, so for the purpose of this adventure, you'd trade one of those in for Round Up the Fugitives.
Oh, I understand, sorry. I guess I'll do Feet of Clay, then.
Okay. So Feet of Clay is out of play for now, so you don't get 1 XP when you activate your Moody limit. But you do get an XP when you defeat or capture a fugitive. You get 3 when you let a fugitive go to help a bystander or ally, and you can earn up to 10 if you track down the real culprits behind the whole mess.
Okay.
These are the sort of fine distinctions that we kind of skipped over when we were playing for 10 minutes last time.
Understood.
But, you know, I have to, you know, make sure I catch some of these things because I don't want Cam to throw me out of the Marvel Heroic Role-Playing Watchers Union.
You guys have great benefits. Just got dental, so I understand completely.
that's what we get. No, we just do these podcasts for free. What, the other thing is, I just will say, I've said it before, I say it whenever I play this game, and I just have to say it, this is a beautiful game, I love this game, it does have a lot of moving parts, and I am very old. So you will just have to bear with me when occasionally I go, I just don't remember how all those pieces fit. But we'll see how we do. Our story starts, this is Act 1, Breakout at the Raft. This is the story that comes with the Marvel Heroic Role-Playing basic book, which you can buy in stores now. The story starts off with our heroes, and I think since we did this last time, I figured we'd kind of fast forward through it. There's a terrible explosion at the Raft, which is the Supermax prison facilities for supervillains, which is on an island in the East River of New York City, like a giant electrical discharge, and this event plunges Manhattan into darkness with a giant power a blackout. A bunch of superheroes, in this case Captain America, The Thing, Mr. Fantastic, and Wolverine, instead of doing the logical thing, which is to go downtown and prevent all the looting that has broken out, have instead thought, gee, I wonder what's going on at the Raft. And through happen chance and bad writing, you arrived simultaneously at a pier where you commandeered a police boat and came to the Raft in the middle of the East River. Remember that it's night, the weather is a cloudy and windy. And then the city is unusually dark because, as I mentioned earlier, the whole blackout thing. Let's see, Captain America, The Thing, Mr. Fantastic, Wolverine, you are a bunch that cuts an impressive swath as you stand there on the boat. To tell you a little bit about the Raft, imagine Alcatraz in San Francisco, barren rock sticking up out of the water with a cluster of buildings on top of it, there's also a large flat area, obviously some kind of landing field. And of course, you're all superheroes, so you know that it's you're all experienced superheroes, so you know that it's a shield facility that extends deep underwater and is just chock filled with the greatest supervillains in the world. They have to be kept close to New York City because other states won't take supervillains, seeing it largely as a New York problem. Or so I imagine. Now, as you guys are motoring over, none of you can fly, so we'll conveniently say that you see a blast, like a wonderful bolt of concussive force blasting its way up out of the island, lighting up the sky for a moment, and you see someone flying away from the island on a brilliant electrical arc. And if you were reading the comic, you'd know that Electro was escaping from the Raft, his mission fulfilled, but none of you can fly, so what the hell?
Well, actually, how far away is he?
Oh, he's out of the plot far.
Oh, okay.
Don't even worry about it. He's just background material because you can try to hunt him down in Act 2.
Got it.
Exactly. So your boat arrives at the platform that sticks out from the edge of the Raft. It's the big landing deck. Now, let me just say, if you were playing the game normally, this is when Count Nefaria would attack you, but we already did that. So
we scared him.
Yeah, and in fact, if you'd like, you can imagine that you also see Count Nefaria flying away. He really has no motivation to stop and tussle with you guys. In fact, if I were Count Nefaria, I would just go away. And I'm guessing in this case that is what he's done. So if you guys want, you can get off of your boat and step up onto the landing deck. The landing deck has two scene distinctions, and they are open to the elements and open to the elements, reinforced entry bay doors, which are the big metal doors that go to the into the entry bay where prisoners would arrive and be brought in and then shuffled downtown down the stairs. So you want to imagine a big sort of aircraft helicopter landing area. Normally it would be all lit up with searchlights and spotlights, but the lighting is actually kind of erratic because of that whole power thing. I think I mentioned it earlier. There are probably one or two helicopters circling overhead, And there's a certain amount of consternation and commotion. There are probably SHIELD agents in their skin-tight fetish gear running about looking harried and excited and poorly lit. As you arrive, you can see the big entry, the big doors to the entry bay swing open, and two large figures emerge, stepping out onto the deck. This, by the way, is what we call framing the scene. If this game were anything except Marvel Heroic Roleplaying, I would describe these characters to you in some detail and make you try to guess who the hell they are. But this game works in a much more open system, so we'll just say that it is those two famous and lovable super criminals, the armadillo, who looks like a big yellow armadillo, and Tiger Shark, who looks like a great big guy dressed like a tiger shark. And what's particularly amusing about these two is that they are chained together at the wrist. In what has got to be probably one of the cleverest thing any SHIELD agent has ever done. Since I think it's fairly obvious that if they weren't chained together at the wrist, they would both have already escaped, one burrowing away into the bowels of the very earth, and the other happily leaping into the East River. But alas, inside, past them, through the entry bay doors, you can see there's all sorts of commotion happening inside, by which I mean, of course, poorly lit commotion, because the power is still largely out, so things are largely lit by handheld lights and flashlights and things like that. And as you know, any good director would keep those lights in constant motion so that anyone watching at home, is slightly motion sick. So this being Marvel Heroic Roleplaying, the order of turn passes to the players. Neither Armadillo nor Tiger Shark is going to claim the first move, which means it is up to you guys to decide amongst the four of you who is going to go first and what they're going to do. Oh, and the last thing I have to say, as the game begins, the Doom Pool stands at 2d6.
Okay.
And where does it go from here?
Sorry, an old friend. I think we should pick up our Canadian friend, Wolverine, and throw him at them.
So Wolverine lights his cigar nonchalantly, gives you a dirty look, and then looks back at the criminals and says, "Gee, I guess Fury doesn't pay the light bill, so you two decide to take a romantic stroll. Cap, why don't you split these lovebirds up? I'll take the fish."
All right.
Sorry. Oh, we're not role playing. Okay, I pop my claws and stab them.
I was down with that. That was a good little scene you had going.
No, that was cool.
Thank you. Acting.
He's the best he is at what he does, and what he does is emote.
Touché.
So, Cap, call the play.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so about how far away are they?
Across, they're on the other side of a helicopter landing deck, which is about as far as you'd like it to be.
All right, I'm going to throw the shield and try and split the chain.
You're going to throw Captain America's shield, and what you'd like to do is target the chain that is holding the two of them together.
Yes.
Okay. The two supervillains are held together by a chain which is a D8 complication. So all you have to do is target the D8 complication. That means rolling against the Doom Pool, which is a clever thing to do because you're at the beginning of the round, which means that the Doom Pool is, as low as it's going to be.
So would that increase it?
So it's a good time. Yes. If you can give it a D8 effect or higher, you can get rid of it completely. And if you do less than that, you could knock it down and make it a weaker thing, which they might be able to break themselves at that point.
Okay.
Trick is to assemble your Doom Pool. Assemble your character's pool, your dice pool for throwing your shield.
Right, so it would be, let's see.
I'm going to say your affiliation die is your D10. It's
team,
right. Because there with a team.
Right, and then the shield, and then, what do you call it, the...
Your shield is an 8-sided die, weapon 8.
Right. Yep. And then the D10 for the team.
You could do D10 for the team, a D8 for the shield. You could probably get in a D10 for being a combat master.
Okay. Alright, so we got a D10, and a D8.
Yeah, you might consider arguing that you could fit one of your distinctions in. In fact, if I were you, I would tell you to add something like try to argue that one of your distinctions could be used as a foresighted die, so that you could earn a plot point, because you're going to want plot points.
Right, and now does the plot point work against the Doom Pool?
The plot point will give you something to spend when you're working against the Doom Pool, yes.
All right, now here's the other thing I was going to ask. Now, in the same action, could I cause the shield to rebound?
I'm not sure. When you say rebound, you mean because you want it back?
Yes.
Yes. There's nothing about throwing your shield that assumes that you don't get it back.
Oh, okay. That's
in fact,
cool.
The default assumption is that you'll get your shield back. If you want to invoke your gear limit and not get the shield back, then I'll give you another plot point.
Really?
Yeah. All
right. Now, is that going to be where I'm going to have to go find it?
Yes, you have to try to recover it, which would mean later on taking an action against the Doom Pool, which is not the hardest thing in the world to do. But it poses an inconvenience for you.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's have it so that I have to go looking for it, I'll get that other plot point as well.
Okay, so you'll earn two plot points if you roll a foresighted die. Let's say we'll say it's your lead by example distinction. Or actually, you know what would make more sense is you can use an elemental distinction from the location. Your location is open to the elements, and that could be the wind knocking, causing the shield not to come back to you properly.
All right, yeah, that works. And
so,
then,
so do those, and you'll be up to three plot points.
All right. I got a 6, a 1, and a 4.
You've got a 6, a 1, and a 4. What's the 1? What die is the 1 on?
What's that?
Which die rolled 1?
That would be the 4.
Okay, I'm going to activate that 1.
Okay.
Which means I'm going to put another D6 in the Doom Pool, but you get another plot.
Okay, so that would be 3 total?
4 total. Because you had 1 when you started, so you've got 4 plot points now.
Okay.
But you've only got 2 dice left, is that right?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, so add them together, and that's your total you get.
Okay, so that's 10.
Your total is 10.
Yes, sir.
But you don't have a die left to be your effect, so your effect will be 4.
Okay.
Because it starts at the lowest level. You're going to roll against the Doom Pool, so I'll roll for the Doom Pool. The Doom Pool rolls a 2, a 2, and a 3. This is good for you. So you roll a 10. Doom Pool rolls 5. You win with an extraordinary success. You do, but you only have a 4 for your effect die because it's an extraordinary success. We're going to mark that goes up to a 6. So the complication, the chain that holds together the armadillo and the tiger shark was a D8. It actually gets knocked down to being a D6 because you threw your shield at it. The shield hits it, thong, damages it, and then the shield tries to bounce back, return to your hand, or tries to, it would, but because of the windy conditions and the gusty winds, the shield goes off into the darkness to your general inconvenience. The question then is, who goes
what,
next?
What I was going for was to hit the chain, getting one of them to either knock down or be moved by the chain, and then allowing the other one to basically be standing upright for Wolverine to be hit. So, like, Wolverine could hit him at that point. So move one to allow the other to be hit.
Okay. It is terribly important in Marvel Heroic Roleplaying to say everything explicitly up front so that I...
Oh, gotcha.
But let's see. But still, you're... with an effect of 6, that's you've pretty much gotten wrung as much out of that as you can hope to. I would tell you that the cap. That's pretty much your move. But the other thing you get to do is, since you went first, you get to choose who goes next.
Claws.
Wolverine.
Let Claws go next. Yep.
Okie dokie. So with a feral snarl and a mighty snicket, Wolverine leaps towards the two of them, planting basically his claws squarely in the chest of Tiger Shark should he get the clean cut on that.
So a savage attack with claws on Tiger Shark.
Well, yes, indeed.
Okay, construct your doom pool.
Okay, now you gotta give me a second here, because unlike you sons of bitches, I've never played this before.
That's quite all right. In fact, the important thing is that you do your thinking out loud so the listeners at home can experience the fun with you.
Oh, well, because I'm all about fun. The affiliations, so I pick the one, and I guess I'm in team, so I get a D8 for that, right?
You're in a team, so you get a D8 for that.
Okay, so I grab my little D8 and I put that aside. Okay. Then, distinctions. Well, I am the best there is at what I do, and what I do best is stab people with adamantium claws.
I believe I've read about that, yes.
So it says D4 plus 1 PP or D8. What do I do with that?
Essentially, if you want this distinction to work for you, your benefit, you could roll a D8. If you'd like the distinction to work against you, and you'd have to describe how you screwed up, then you could roll the D4, which isn't as good, but you would gain a plot point. And let me just say that you do need plot points to get out of this thing alive.
No, I have a healing factor. I'm going to rely on that, just like the real Wolverine. So I'm going to
right,
take my
D8. Right, but it takes plot points to activate.
Ah, we'll get there.
Okay.
Jean Grey will call or something, I'm sure.
It could totally happen.
Next, I go to my power set, and I have enhanced reflexes, enhanced strength, superhuman senses, and godlike stamina. The only thing I really see playing in this would be the enhanced reflexes, since I am springing forward with an attack, so
enhanced,
I guess I...
Reflex seems like a good call.
So I can claim the D8 from there.
Yep.
And then we go to the next best thing since sliced bread, which is that with what I slice the bread, which is my D10 for my razor-sharp adamantium claws.
Very well put.
I'm a combat master, and this is combat, so I believe I qualify for a D10 there.
I think there's no doubt.
And I have some milestones, but those don't really count right now. So that looks like my pool, 2d10, 3d8. Is that correct?
That sounds right to me. And you should roll those, but then don't disturb them until we've done calculated everything out.
Roger, roger. So here we go. And I get, from top to bottom, a 7, a 6, a 5, a 4, and a 2. So what do I do with that?
You've got a 7, a 6, a 5, a 4, and a 2. So you now have to make a little decision. You're going to take 3 of those dice and use them. Two of them, you're going to total up to make your total. And you'd like that to be a very high number. The third die will be your effect die. And here's the trick that so many people stumble over, but it's not that bad. You don't care what number the third die roll. You just care how big it is, and the bigger the better. So if you can construct a nice high total out of, say, you know, D8s that rolled high, and then use a D10 that rolled low, you can do very well for yourself. But you might have to – this is where you have to make some – there's a resource management decision here for you. The effect die won't work unless your total is high enough, but it's very possible to have a successful total and then not have enough effect die to really make a difference.
So my question is, do I have to pick the 3 highest or any 3?
It can be any 3, and because they don't have to be the highest, you are free to sort of make these decisions.
Got it. So I'm going to grab one of the D10s, which is a 6, and one of the D8s, which is a 7, giving me a lovely total of a 13 for my number. And then I have a 2. I have a 2 sitting here on a D10, so that'll be my effect die, a D10.
So your total is 13, and your effect is D10. Fantastic.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, again, we're going a little slower than we might if we were playing this around my table, because we're doing it all out loud. But I'm now going to – Tiger Shark gets to roll a reaction to you. So Tiger Shark is tied to someone, so that's going to be his buddy D8. I don't think any of his distinctions apply, but he's going to go with the open to the element distinction. For a D8, because the darkness and winds in the current situation would work against, he figures, would work in his favor and against you, since you're leaping at him in the dark. He gets to use one of his shark imprint powers. In this case, he's going to go with his durability 10, which would tend to defend him from his claws, and he's a combat expert, so he gets another 8. So that gives him 2 8s and 2 10s. Which he rolls. He rolls a 7, a 6. I'm sorry. He rolls a 6, a 1, a 7, and a 9. Now, before we do anything else, let me point out that 1 is an opportunity, which someone might want to claim if you have a power that needs an opportunity. So I'll set that aside in case that comes up. So that leaves him with a 6, a 7, and a 9. I'm going to roll the 9 and the 7 together to give him a 16 and an effect of 8, which means he beats you.
The list there was. Never mind.
Effect of 16. So the action roll, in this case, the reaction roll is bigger than the action roll. In this case, your action fails. Now, because of this, the action has failed. The next thing that can happen is he can try to make a reaction attack on you. What was your effect? Oh, no, your effect die was 10.
Mm-hmm.
Your effect die was 10, so in fact, he can't do a reaction. And that's that.
Okay.
You don't injure him, but neither is he able to do anything about it. You get to pass the turn on to someone else.
Well, in that case, I believe I will pass the turn on to the ever-loving blue-eyed thing, since obviously Big Brain Reed's thinking up something that's going to do it all in one sweep. We need to give him time. So I pass it to the thing.
All right, thing. Let me just say at start that the Doom Pool stands at 3. 3d6.
3d6. Okay. That's because Captain America lost his shield, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the best thing I can do is hit a guy in the face, because I am going to... no one's taken an armadillo yet. He looks like he's probably my guy in this dance. So.
Yeah, I would think in comic book logic that he is your guy in this dance.
Okay, let's construct a die pool then.
Do it.
On a team, so that's D8. It's Clobber and Time. That's going to be another D8. I want to do these SFX for Haymaker, which is double godlike strength for an action.
And double add, godlike, then add your second highest rolling die from that action to the doom pool. Okay.
So that's 2D12.
So yep.
Let me switch over to the Wizards of the Coast online die roller and add all this up. So that is 2D8 so far, and then 2D12. And what else have we got there? Combat Expert is will be 3D8. And I think that's about it, right?
Did you use a distinction?
Distinction in this case. Oh, yeah, it's Clobbering Time, D8. That's, yeah.
Fair enough.
All right. So rolling a 3D8, and I get a 4, 6, and a 4. Rolling a 2D12, and I get a 10 and a 4.
Wow.
It's pretty lousy, right?
that's pretty lively. So would you like to select a what your total is out of that and what your effect die is?
Well, the effect die is going to have to be a D12, and probably that lousy 4D12. For my effect, I guess I'll take the 10 and the 6 for 16. The total, I mean.
I'm sorry, the total is what, 16?
16.
16. Now, doesn't that leave you with a D12 sitting there unused?
So I was using that for my effect die.
Didn't you roll 2D12s?
I did. I had 10 and a 4. I was going to use the low 12 D12 before as the effect die.
I'm confused. I thought that should leave you with another 12, shouldn't it? Or am I mishearing you?
You're thinking 2D12 instead of 2D12?
No, but if you roll okay. I'm confused somehow.
Okay, well, hang on. I had 3D8 from Let's rebuild this. I'm a team. There's 8. Clobbering Time. There's 8. And I am a combat expert, so that's 8. So there's 3D8.
That's right.
I'm using special effects for Haymaker, which is double godlike strength for an action, then add the second highest rolling die from that action to a doom pool.
Oh, of course, but then you lost the second highest rolling die. That's where the other die went. Okay, I lost track.
Okay.
So Armadillo gets a reaction to try to defend oneself. That is, Armadillo is Buddy D4. I don't see a great distinction. Well, I'm going to go with the open to the elements to get a D8, and then durability D10 and combat D8. So we're rolling a 4, 2 8s, and a 10. Roll a 10 and a 6 and an 8 and a 2. Let's see. So that's going to be a the monsters are rolling well tonight. So that's so we roll an 18 with a D8 effect. Once again, your total was a 16, so Armadillo wins. But I can't beat your effect die, so I can't do any kind of reaction on you.
What a revolt in development. Okay.
Revolt development indeed. And I'm sorry about that thing, but you get to pass the talking stick on, in theory, to Mr. Fantastic, but I'll point out Tiger Shark and Armadillo will eventually get turns.
Stretcho, it's your call now.
Well, I see my old friend Ben. I think of him as a brother, you know, and getting pounded by Armadillo, and I'm thinking, no, and I stretch out to basically push Ben out of the way to protect him, because he's like a brother to me. So 1d10 for being on a team, 1d4 because I'm a family man, I get +1 PowerPoint, or whatever it is, PP.
Yeah, you gain a power point.
D10 for stretching. Can I use more than one of these or just one?
You can use one of your powers. You can use one thing from each category unless you cough up a power point to pay more.
I see.
To use more.
Got it. And what about these special effects?
Well, let's see.
I've got
that
versatile.
Versatile, you could, for instance, instead of rolling a D10 with your stretching, you could roll a 2D8 or 3D6, which gives you, more dice, but, more numbers, but no chance of rolling 10.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm going to stick with what I got here, too. It's 2D10 and a D4. And, nothing applies to specialties.
I would say not.
I would say not. Okie dokie. All right. Ooh. Okay. I got a 9, a 7, and a 1 on the D4.
A 9, a 7, and a 1 on the D4. I will buy that 1.
Okay.
Give you another power point.
Okay.
Plot point, putting you up to 3 plot points, and adding a D6 to the Doom Pool, which now stands at 4 D6, which is my kind of Doom Pool.
Okay. So now I
with a 9 and a 7, which gives you a total of 16.
15. Yep.
And that gives you an effect of 4. But what you're trying to do is help the thing.
Right.
What you're doing really is creating an asset. So what you do is, let's create an asset called, what did you call what you were doing?
Lookout, Ben.
You've just created an asset called Lookout, Ben. And it is worth a D6 because you created it with a D4, and assets automatically start at D6, even if you only had a D4 to make them. What you can do is, and what would be the most logical thing to do, although you can come up with something else if you're clever, is pass this to Ben, who would use it in his next convenient role. He's got, for instance, Armadillo is about to get an attack on Ben, so he could use it in his defense or later in another attack.
So Ben threw himself a little off balance, and then Armadillo is going to come around the other side, smack him in the head. Look out, Ben!
This is exactly right.
At just the right moment. Very Marvel. Yes, I understand what was being said the last time, how this emulates the comics, not the physics.
Exactly. Apparently.
I think that was Fred Hicks' quote on RPGNet was emulates the fiction, not the physics.
Yeah, I think it's true. I love playing Mutants and Masterminds, for instance. But I think what a game like that does is it tries to model the world where comics happen, whereas I think this is more closely trying to model the comics.
A
subtle and clever distinction.
Just my own personal opinion. I've got a copy of the DC role-playing game, and I tried to play with my friends, but it never felt like the animated series. It never felt like comics. It felt like another Villains of Vigilantes, just another Supers game. Not that I don't like, I love Supers games, but
I'd say a really nice other Supers game. But yes. I think it it shares a sort of a basic conceit of how to approach things, which I think this game violates, which is why some people love it and why some people read the MHR rulebook and then sort of go, what the hell just happened to my head?
Hey, I also had a pretty good question in the IM window. How do we decrease the Doom Pool?
Actually, you don't decrease the Doom Pool. Though the Doom Pool gets decreased by my spending it, which you're about to see, because the next thing that happens is Tiger Shark and Armadillo, and they're going to roll really well because I'm going to spend these points, and you guys are going to get savaged. Yay!
Can we throw plot points at it?
Yes, because you'll get to roll reactions, and you can use your plot points to make your reactions more effective by putting more dice in your die pool, or by using more dice in your total, or by using more dice in your effects. And I'll point out that one of the best ways to hit someone in this game is to successfully defend yourself in a reaction and then pay a plot point to use an effect die against the attacker. This game tends to favor attackers because an attacker wins a tie, and the thing that balances that is that if you successfully defend yourself in a reaction, the attacker is often sort of vulnerable, which I think is a very comic book. It is right after Dr. Doom almost crushes your head that you usually get your one good shot at him. Mm-hmm. So I think that works pretty well, and we might get a chance to see it now because that was Mr. Fantastic's turn. He's passed his lookout Ben D6 asset to the Thing. Well, let's do that next. The Armadillo is going to take a whack at the Thing. I'm going to roll a buddy D4. I'm going to use my anger issues to roll a D8. I'm going to use my strength D10. And I could go with my claws, but let's not. And let's use a combat D8, and we'll keep things simple. So I'll roll. So I'm rolling that. That's 2 D8s, a 10, and a 4. Pretty much the same thing that Armadillo rolled last time.
That was the thing. Oh, is your action roll? Gotcha. Sorry.
And actually, let me add a die. I'm going to improve his chances. I'm going to just take a D6 right out of the Doom Pool and put it right into this that I'm rolling. So the Doom Pool stands at 3, and Armadillo gets an extra D6. For clobbering Ben with. So, I roll 2 1s, a 6, a 3, and a 2. Now, those 2 1s are opportunities, which if anyone needs to activate an opportunity, especially Ben, those are there for you. 3 and a 6 and a 2, but the 2 is on a 10-sided die. So I'm going to add the 3 and the 6, and my total is a 9, and my effect is a 10.
And you file a grievance with the Superhero Union?
You should roll, you should assemble a reaction pool and defend yourself.
Okay, now you said I could activate an opportunity from his 1s?
You can. There are 2 1s sitting there that you could activate.
How does that work?
That's a good question. In the short time I've been playing this game, no player has ever activated a 1. So, the hell do I know?
I'll tell you what. To avoid page slipping, why don't we just talk about it at the end of the podcast, and we'll just...
First of all, I'll point out the most common time it comes up is if you have a power that specifically makes use of it also comes in handy if you want to create a resource or a stunt. You can knock it up a dice size by using the opportunity. I'm just going to look and see if you have any opportunity. Well, I'll give you an example. Captain America has thrown away his shield. That doesn't work for Cap. For some characters, getting back a lost piece of gear would just require activating an opportunity. That doesn't work in this case. But there are lots of times like that when they come up. But why don't you assemble your defensive hand and see what you can do?
All right, I got a D8 for being on a team. I got a D8 for what a revolting development as my distinction. Enhanced stamina, that's another D8. So far I have 3 D8. And I'm not seeing anything else I can really put on there right now. I guess combat expert's 4d8.
Absolutely.
So So that's my whole pool, and I'm rolling it right now.
You do have Lookout Ben D6, which you could use now, or
yes,
you could save.
We're using that now.
Okay.
All right, that was it. I rolled a 2 on the D6, and on the D8, I rolled a 6, 7, a 5, and a 2.
You got a 6, 7, a 5, and a 2?
Yeah.
And something else?
On the D6, I rolled a 2, and on the 48, I got a 6, 7, a 5, and a 2.
So 2, 6, 7, 5, 2. Okay, and, well, let's see. So to get out of this, you need to come up with a total that's bigger than a 9.
Well, the 6 and the 7 together do that.
Okay.
And then I will use the D6 that rolled a 2 as my effect die.
Do
you get effect dies on reaction rolls?
You often do. So let's see if you do in this case. Your total is 13.
Mm-hmm.
That's just short of an extraordinary success. So you don't get an extraordinary success. You do have you do have a D6. Let me just see. The reaction roll is bigger than the action roll. The action fails. Now, you've got one plot point, if I call.
Mm-hmm.
If you would like to spend that plot point now, you can apply your D6 against the armadillo.
Heck yes.
And how you can apply that in two ways. It could either be stress of whatever kind you would like to choose, so long as you can come up with a narrative explanation, or you could create a D6 complication. In either case, it's going to be a D6 die that counts against the armadillo.
I punch him right, and I dodge his punch, and I punch him right in the armored face, and that's the D6.
D6 of physical stress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Armadillo takes D6 of physical stress, and the next move then goes to Tiger Shark, who's going to try to have his vengeance on Wolverine. Tiger Shark, because he's still connected to I probably in the last turn I didn't give them their let me do it right this time. He's going to get a and you'll just have to bear with me. I'm new here too. He's at buddy 8 because he's still tied to someone, but which is an important thing to remember. He's going to go with selfish for defending himself. And durability 10, and his combat 8, which means he's going to roll 3 8s and a 10 in his attempt to smack Wolverine. Remember, Tiger Shark is ridiculously strong, so he's got a good chance to do some serious damage here. He rolls a 7, a 7, a 3, and a 5. I'm going to go with I really want that, one of the sevens is on a D10, and I really, really want that for the damage. So I'm going to go with the 7 and 5 for my total. So my total is 12, and my effect is a D10. And Wolverine, you should construct your reaction roll, but here's the thing that we left out last time. You get an extra D6.
Why do I get
a D6? Because Tiger Shark is still chained to Armadillo with a D6 complication. And you get to roll an extra die when you go against him, which you should have gotten last time, but I'm a forgetful person.
So I'm building the pool the exact same way as before?
Yes, probably.
Okay.
Or very similar.
So I get the team, so the D8 gives me the team, since I'm on a team still. Distinctions, I don't think the best I do is really going to work here. So I'm going to take Godlike Stamina, which is a D12.
You mainly roll that in recovery, not so much as a reaction.
Okay.
Unless you can come up with a really good explanation, but we'd probably go more with reflexes here.
All right, I'll take the 8 for the reflexes then. Boom, 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 boom. I'm looking at my adamantium skeleton. This is a blunt attack. either convert opponent's effect die into a Weapon X program stunt, or step back effect die by -1 and inflict as physical stress. Spend 1 PP to use the stunt. Okay, I don't have a PP, so never mind that. I'm going to say I'm still in combat, so I still qualify as a combat
master. Wait, when did you spend a PP?
I have PP. I didn't know I had them.
I'm sorry. I may not have been sufficiently clear. You started with 1 PP, so you've got a plot point if you would like to.
I'm gonna activate that. I'm gonna activate my adamantium skeleton, which means his effect die goes down by 1.
Well, you can only spend that if you get a successful reaction against the attack. So let's hold on that.
I lost a finger to a moving part.
Exactly. If your reaction is successful, you can try to activate that.
Okay, so I'm going to take my combat master, which is still a D10, because I am rolling with the blows, as it were.
Yep.
And that's all I got. So I've got a D10, 2D8, and a D6.
Okay.
And I get a 1, a 1, a 1, and a 4.
Wow.
That doom pool just keeps growing, huh?
I don't think I've ever... I'm not even sure what happens here. Your reaction, I guess your total is a 4.
Yeah.
And your reaction is a 4. Your effect is a 4. So you lose. However, I am going to activate. How many ones did you roll?
3.
You rolled 3. That's kind of more than I want to pay for just at the moment. I will buy 2 of those, which puts the doom pool up to 5d6, which is rather a lot, but you gain 2 plot points, which puts your plot points to 3.
Hooray!
Come in pretty handy later. The bad news is that you take a d10 of physical stress by being walloped by the tiger shark. Physical stress D10 is enough to kill most people. Certainly normal people would be killed. But, you know, you're Wolverine. I'll point out that on your next turn, you could probably do something with your healing factor, which would cost a plot point. But you've got plot points, so that may not be so bad. Which brings us to the beginning... Tiger Shark will pass the turn to Captain America.
Okay, so at this point, the shield is missing.
Yes.
Logan, or Jim, whichever name he's using this week, is down.
He's certainly been knocked down.
And Ben is sidestepped and doing his thing, and Mr. Fantastic is being fantastically elastic.
Yes. Meanwhile, you're standing on a windswept landing platform on an island in the middle of the East River, while much commotion happens around you.
Okay. So do we? And of course, this is just like the landing dock, right?
Right.
Okay.
And you've got two monsters in front of you. I mean, Armadillo and Tiger Shark, you can call them supervillains, but really they're both monsters. They're just incredible. They're big, savage. They both just, you know.
All right. So what I'd like to do is I would like to use the wet landing as like a slip and slide.
Okay.
So I want to slide through the commotion, kind of like on my backside or like on my back, fly through the commotion, hit a rock on my foot, causing me to roll up, grab the chain, and jump straight back so that they slam together. And then I'd like to spend some plot points so that I can recover my shield. Now, can I do all of that?
Maybe. Let's have a look at what you have to do these things. Captain America, unfortunately, without your shield, you don't have an area attack. So what I'm going to suggest is that you try to do that move, but you'll only, well, let's see. Let's see. You do have a bunch of plot points. So if
right.
you roll a...
Womp, womp, womp. Unfortunately, at this point, technical difficulties ended the session. So we'll have to pick up the action on our next actual demo session, which should be up in a week. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this demo of Marvel Heroic Roleplaying, and we'll catch you next time on the BAMF Podcast.